You give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. Larry, how are you today?
Stan, real well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, because you can keep us abreast of what's going on. As far as the right of the people to keep and bear arms, I have a feeling that there's going to be a real pressure as we move towards the all-power of authoritarian government, not necessarily even an American government, this world government that they're planning, that there's going to be a real drive to disarm the American people. Tell us what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Well, let's just start at that general level that you begun our discussion with. We are dealing with socialist worldview, actually a Marxist thug. And I called the president that in a column before the election because of his support for a Marxist pro-Muslim extremist thug that he may well be related to over in Kenya, a guy who'd run for president. And in order to claw his way unconstitutionally into power, Raila Odinga, who had gotten support from Obama, Obama had brought him to the United States and raised money for his campaign. Part of his campaign plan, written down, that Obama knew about because he'd been advising him all through the campaign from his Senate office. This plan called for, in the event that they were to lose, well, of course, they were the minority party in Kenya, so that was quite likely. They did lose. So the plan called for the instigation of political violence, very much out of the Acorn book, by the way. The violence did come. It was provoked. Thousands of Christians were murdered by Muslim mobs that were instigated and inflamed by Raila Odinga and his party. Well, it was pretty obvious that if Obama was willing to be joined at the hip with a man like that, who is a Marxist thug, then clearly we shouldn't be surprised if we got the same kind of thing from Mr. Obama. And we're seeing it. The way he is thuggishly pushing people around who have contract privileges to be first in line in the payment for a company that goes bankrupt, namely Chrysler, and just telling them, I'm going to ruin you if you insist on your contractual rights. This is the deal. I'm transferring your rights over to my real buddies, the unions. And this is the kind of thing you see Chavez doing, the kind of thing that you've seen other Marxist thugs do when they get into power. It's being done in front of our very nose. And so when this issue of gun control comes up, we should not be surprised that we're going to get some of the same treatment that others are getting. And what we're seeing is, well, first of all, we've talked about this before. The other side plays chess a whole lot better than we do. And I can hear a break coming. So when we get back, let me just turn to how they've been outfoxing us.
Well, I would simply point out that certainly Barack Obama went over to Kenya and actively campaigned there, gave speeches, you know,
exactly.
On the podium right along with this communist thug that you're talking about. And I think he is a distant relative, a cousin, of that, something of that sort. So what is an American United States senator doing traveling to Kenya to campaign for a Marxist thug? Well, I think that there's certain things that are self-evident. We shouldn't even bother to look any further. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Larry Pratt, Gun Owners for America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble. Partly because America's turned its back on God, and God may be turning
Amen.
Back on America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, certainly one of our favorite guests. And he is, of course, bringing us up to par with what's going on in Washington, D.C. He works back there in Washington, D.C. with gun owners. And, of course, they're on the cutting edge of the things that are transpiring. So you pick up the story, Larry.
Well, we're facing a huge threat from socialized medicine in general as individuals that would from time to time need to use the health system. But I'm speaking as a gun owner. And the reason we're in such trouble is that the government is close to getting its hands on all of the records and forcing everybody into a system where they must participate through approved insurance plans. And if they don't, fines of up to $15,000 a year. And their records will end up still going into the government system.
Well you know, I don't understand, Larry. President Obama has said that he's concerned about the privacy of our records. My goodness, he wants privacy. He wants to protect our privacy. That's why he's going to put our records onto the Internet?
Yeah, right. Well, as far as I can tell, our privacy is of our medical records is protected from telemarketers. They can't get those names and addresses and call us as a health consumer that they know about. And frequently, a spouse can't get the information because they didn't get to sign the requisite form. And so when their spouse is not compos mentis, and they call and they try to get some information about, well, what are the meds he's on or she's on or, you know, other reasonable questions, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not authorized to release that information, which they're not. But if you're some bureaucrat somewhere anywhere in the government, including a cop bureaucrat, you can plug right into these records. No big deal.
You know, I think, Larry, one of the most amazing things, I think most people listening to the program today have gone into their doctor or dentist or the hospital or at medical facilities, and they say, we're concerned about your privacy. We have these forms. Would you just sign these to guarantee your privacy? And if you read them, basically what they say is we can turn your medical records over to any government agency that wants or asks for them, and you have no privacy rights. And yet these are being sold by your doctor and by your dentist and by your health facility in the name of protecting your privacy. And they're simply doing what they're told, as all good Americans do. You never object to what Big Brother tells you. And yet I dare say there's not one person listening to this program in 1,000. Who hasn't filled out those forms.
And the time is coming, if we get this socialized medicine, doesn't matter whether you sign it or not, those records are going to be laid out bare.
I mean, you're absolutely right, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand that when President Obama says he's interested in protecting your privacy, what he means is you're not going to have any privacy. They say one thing, they do another. They talk about, oh, how my goodness, we're going to cut taxes on everybody, but we're going to raise the gasoline tax, or we're going to raise this tax and the other tax, and then we're going to create inflation, which is the invisible tax that's going to raise you up to the point where you're going to be, you know, having to pay 35% or 40% of your income. Remember what they did with the alternative minimum tax. That was just for the very wealthy, because, you know, there's some rich people who don't pay their fair share. So we're going to have an alternative minimum tax, And then as time went by and inflation came in, about half the middle class fell into the alternative minimum tax. And the Congress said, gee, we never meant this. Why? But we don't know what to do about it. Why can't we repeal it? Or we don't know how to repeal it. Ladies and gentlemen, when they say they're going to tax the rich, what they mean is they're going after you. But we can never let the American people realize that politicians say one thing when they really mean another. You go right ahead.
Well, when we talk about not having privacy, real privacy, of our medical records, this has enormous implications to gun owners. No longer will you be able to go to a physician who is a pay-for-service sort of person, not in the Medicare system, doesn't send in your insurance forms and all of that. He just wants you to pay on the barrel, and for that, he's not sending your records anywhere. Any records that you submit, that's your decision. And after they're changing all these laws, if you decide, you know, yeah, he charged me $150 for the office visit, and maybe because I don't want those antidepressants to get into my gun records, I'll just eat the $150. Maybe my right to keep and bear arms is worth that. Well, you won't have that choice to make if this socialized medical plan, and there's still some variations in how they may do it, but choice is not going to be one of them as far as your records being laid bare. And because of things that the NRA supported back in 07, it means that medical records now are all that is needed to take away your right to keep and bear arms. No court trial, no adversarial procedure, no due process. Oh, I see that we have a piece of paper that has this medical record. Sorry, you can't renew your concealed carry permit. You can't buy a gun at a federally licensed firearms dealers because we've gotten the ixnay from the FBI because they accessed your medical records and you're not qualified.
And see, the trouble is so many doctors, if you feel depressed or you know, maybe you're just a little down in the dumps, they're going to give you a psychotropic drug, Prozac or Luvox or one of these other things, Ritalin. These are all psychotropic drugs, and if you've taken these things,
that's a trigger right there. You're toast.
You will not be allowed to have a weapon. Why? Because you might get psychotic at some time in the future.
Now, let's assume that you haven't taken any of those drugs. You haven't voluntarily or involuntarily been in a psychiatric ward at a hospital and nobody in your family. But, you know, maybe you've got kids or grandchildren and they've gone to the pediatrician. And these are the cutting edge of socialism in the medical profession. They have been telling their members of the American Psychiatric or Pediatrician Association, or whatever it is precisely called, to ask these unethical questions that go over the boundaries of what is proper. And so they've been advising doctors, little Johnny, before your mommy comes back in the room, do you have any guns in the house? Does daddy have any guns? And where does daddy keep the guns, Johnny? You know, they're going to have all this information. Again, it's a medical record. And so you say, well, I've never bought a gun at a store. The government doesn't know I have any of my guns. Oh, yeah? Johnny just ran his mouth to the pediatrician.
And, of course, the trouble is that this is what they do with any totalitarian government. Why would they want to do that here in America unless they were trying to get it, collecting dossiers on American citizens? And, ladies and gentlemen, they are. Go right ahead.
And we're being sold as part of the overall gun control push that we need to have registration of guns, that this is how we're going to keep them from going abroad. And the poor Mexicans, they're doing everything they can. They've banned guns virtually in their country, and they wouldn't have a problem in the world if it weren't for the United States. Oh, the terrible United States. We are the source of all trouble and all evil in the world. All other cultures are equally nifty and wonderful, including those that have exploding Muslims. But the United States, oh, man, we've got to have gun control in the United States. And therefore, we need a treaty, and the treaty would impose registration of all of our guns. And so they're telling us that this is a way to fight crime. Well, what do we know about fighting crime from registration? We know that Hawaii and Canada, since the 30s, have registered guns. They have never, ever, once solved the crime because of their gun registry. In fact, in a somewhat analogous fashion, we had, as you remember, a few years ago, the Beltway Sniper. And it turned out a couple guys, they were running around killing people. They were converts to Islam, by the way. A couple of black guys that were converts to Islam and had become very radicalized. Well, the police had a profile. The politically correct police of one of the Maryland, Washington, D.C. suburbs. They used a Marxist analysis. Got to be somebody that's economically frustrated. Some white guy, tradesman type, a loser. Can't get a regular job. And he's driving around in a white van. And he lives in the Maryland suburbs. And so the way to track this sucker down, and they did, they went to all of the gun stores where a firearm had been sold that used the caliber that the Beltway Sniper was using to murder the many people that had been murdered. And then they went door to door. Now, this is without even going to a computerized, centralized database. This is just going store by store. They went like a dragnet through all the stores in the Maryland suburbs, found out all of the people that had bought these firearms, and went door to door. And we told the media at the time they were doing this silly thing and dangerous thing constitutionally. They will not find the gun this way. If they find the gun used in the crime, and I don't want to call it a murder weapon because the weapon didn't do anything, it was the murderer who committed murder. If they find the gun, they're going to find it when they find the perps. Sure enough, instead of a white van, it was a dark gray sedan. Instead of a white guy, it was a couple of black guys who were the radicalized Muslims. And the police didn't find him. It wasn't it due to any of the registry. It was the motorist at a rest stop on an interstate that saw a couple guys sleeping in the car, one of whom was cradling the gun in his arms. Precisely what we had said would happen as the way they might find the gun, if they ever did. And so we're being told, once again, well, who do you believe, me or your lying eyes? Of course gun control and registration works for solving crimes and keeping crime down. But I lied to you. Well, one of the major proponents of this legislation is Representative Bobby Rush. I know we've talked about him before on your show, but maybe it bears repeating because of something he's fairly recently done. Bobby Rush, to review, is an ex-con and a thug. But then I repeat myself, he's a Chicago member of Congress. He, in the 60s, was a street thug who, with a couple of other thugs, invented something that sounded ideological called Black Panthers, and they had their own little murder gang that was operating in Chicago for a while. And street thug Rush ended up going to jail for several months on illegal weapons charges. So, as I speculated before, perhaps this is how he is supposed to have his expertise on gun control. He knows that criminals don't pay attention to gun laws, and therefore the only people that might be stupid enough to obey a gun law would be the law-abiding, not the law-breaking types in society. So anyway, street thug, ex-con, register everybody else's guns, Bobby Rush, is part of a delegation about 3 weeks ago or so that went over to Cuba to slobber all over the feet of the two dictators that have run that country for now, 50 years, I guess. And
1959.
Right. January 1st. And right. What did they do January 1st, the first full day they were in power? They sent their thugs around with the list that the previous government had conveniently made of all the registered guns in the island nation, and they went door to door. And they came back with one of two things: the gun that was on the list, or the owner that couldn't supply the gun that was on the list. And then the mass executions got underway, and the killing and the killing and the killing just went on, and the rivers of blood flowed. Tens of thousands of Cubans were executed. Many others died in the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico, whatever it is, trying to get out of Cuba. This is gun registration. Maybe Mr. Rush wanted to go and reassure himself that it really does work the way it's really intended.
Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of people in government who want a dictatorship. Actually, most people don't know that the American State Department and the CIA brought Fidel Castro to power. We have a wonderful interview with the American ambassador to Cuba at that time, Mr. Earl T. Smith, and he tells you the State Department, the CIA, brought Fidel Castro to power knowing he was a communist. He killed, I think, 15,000 people, slaughtered them, blood on the hands of the American State Department, blood on the hands of the American taxpayers. But you've never heard that. You're not going to hear it. You need to get that that DVD, The World Revolution, available from Radio Liberty. Well, there you go, right ahead.
Very good. Well, so here we've got all of this being set up by our rulers, and we are now in, I would say, the last stage of one of the major battles for what's left of our firearms freedoms. If they get this gun, this socialized medicine deal through, we're going to be toast. I think there is a very plausible argument that can be made that we can stop this. And I think that might come as a surprise to anybody that's been kind of, you know, following the political system, because let's face it, Democrats have a huge majority in both houses. They have the presidency. And these bodies are led by ultra-leftists, by hardcore socialists. We're talking about a Marxist government here in the United States. We no longer have the luxury of sneering and looking down our nose at third world countries where these socialists come in and impoverish the country and enslave the country. We're on the doorstep of the same thing ourselves, and this fight can still be won. We're in a posture right now where they're trying to stick the health care measure on a bill. There's only really once a year in the Senate where you can have a vote that's just a majority vote with no opportunity for filibuster, which requires then 60 votes to move ahead. It's called the budget reconciliation. Now, we lost the first, there's going to be a series of battles on this reconciliation measure. We lost the first vote, but we picked up some Democrats along the way. And we're, as far as we can tell, we're at about 46 votes that are in hand and seem to be fairly solidly committed to opposing the inclusion of health care in the reconciliation measure. Now, some of them oppose it on a procedural basis. The reconciliation measure, and I hope I'm not getting everybody's eyes to glaze over, the one-of-a-kind, once-a-year measure where all you can do is vote it up or down on a majority vote, is only supposed to contain those things which are designed to lower the debt, either by raising taxes, which is something that Bob Dole thought was really cool, or by lowering expenditures. And the proponents of socialized medicine are saying, oh, socialized medicine is going to lower the cost of medicine, because as we know, government can do anything that it does so much cheaper and so much better than that terrible private sector. Yeah, right, like the post office. Shall we start there? Everybody believes in their heart, of course, that the government is so well suited to efficiency and lack of corruption and lack of abuse of arbitrary power that, why, of course, they will lower the budget by socializing medicine. Well, actually, there are even members of the Senate that think that's a knee slapper, and they're not going to go for it. And even somebody like Bobby Byrd is really, he's an ultra-liberal, and yet he's really ticked off.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay. Here.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Larry is saying that in the Senate there's going to be the budget reconciliation bill. Now, the reconciliation bill is certainly not subject to filibuster. It is only passed by a majority vote, and it is to lower the cost. Lower so that you can either cut spending or you can lower, you can raise taxes. But the whole idea is you're going to lower the budget deficit. That's what it's all about. Well, the Democrats are saying, well, we're going to have socialized medicine. We're going to insure everybody and increase the quality of health care and lower the cost of health care. Furthermore, we are going to, increase energy expenditures and go to solar energy and go to wind energy, and we're going to lower the energy cost. Anybody who knows anything at all about it realizes it's going to double or triple your electric bill. But apparently Larry Proud, our guest, feels that we all have 46 senators who think this is a ridiculous idea. We only need a few more, and we could block this. They want to put the socialized medical bill in there because that's how we're going to lower medical costs. I don't know how many of you remember, but during the days of Lyndon Johnson, Johnson sold Medicare by saying, look, we have figured this out, and certainly this is 1965. By 1990, Medicare is only going to cost $9 billion, and we could afford that to take care of the elderly and make sure nobody dies without medical care. Well, by 1990, Medicare was costing $90 billion a year, and now it's up to about $350, pushing $400 billion a year,
and will double very shortly, thanks to all the trends that are moving right now.
Right, of course. So basically, we've got to stop socialized medicine. Not only that, it's going to be used to ration access to health care and kill the elderly, just like they did in Hitler's Germany, another socialist state. I mean, after all, they're going to have committees deciding who's going to get treatment and who's not going to get treatment.
They do the same in England right now. Right. There's a whole bunch of people in England that have been told, no, you can't use a life-saving drug because we just don't think it's a rational use of resources. If they want that drug, they got to fly to the Czech Republic or to India or the United States in order to get it. Well, if we pass this legislation, this is going to be one less country they can fly to for their medical tourism needs.
You may have to go down to Mexico to get decent medical care, but go right ahead, Larry.
Absolutely. Well, we're inching up on a 51 vote majority on our side to kill the budget reconciliation measure if it has socialized medicine stuck in it. Now, the significance of that, okay, they'll drop it out and pass the measure with whatever other provisions. From the point of view of gun owners, that's the end of our major concern about that bill. As a private voter, we probably don't want them passing anything. You know, they screw up everything they touch. But nevertheless, that means that now health care becomes a filibusterable measure. And happily, the filibuster is still available to us that conservatives and Republicans unwisely wanted to get rid of when the Republicans controlled the Senate. And they didn't think they would ever, ever lose control of the Senate. Now the Democrats, I think, have the same illusion. I've got a quote from Senator Schumer saying much the same thing. Hubris strikes these people very quickly. Happily, gun owners and some unlikely allies on the hard left, who probably believed that the Republicans were going to be in forever as well, because I don't think theirs was a principled objection, they worked with us to keep the filibuster. Praise the Lord, we have a filibuster now, because if we can get health care and its horrible danger to gun owners thrown into a regular Senate bill posture where it takes 60 votes to get it passed, 41 for us to block, then we have a chance, because there are all kinds of privacy issues regarding gun owners. And for those concerned about the abortion issue, there too. Lots of people all of a sudden have a dog in the fight, and the fight becomes one that they actually may have a chance to get into and win. And it's all because we're on the verge of pushing this thing into that posture where these kinds of votes can take place. And we know, and you and I have discussed this also in the past, that if we can maneuver a piece of legislation in the Senate so that one of our measures can be put up as an amendment, a gun control issue clearly there on a recorded vote, we're going to win.
And, of course, the thing is that Larry's on the front lines of this. You can go to their website. We'll tell you how to get there in just a few minutes. But you can send emails. You can send them to your senators, your congressmen. Get the information out. Get other people involved. Because, believe me, when you start shutting down the switchboards there in Congress, when people are deluged with emails and with faxes and with letters, they take heed, believe me, because most of the politicians aren't dedicated to the right or the left. They're just dedicated to staying in Washington, D.C. with all the perks and the greatest health care and greatest retirement in the world. Amen. They wouldn't want to lose that. And if they hear from enough of you, ladies and gentlemen, they will vote against it. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. Larry, go right ahead, and as soon as all of our stations come back on board, we'll have you put out your website and let people know how to get in touch with you. But that's about 2 minutes from now, so go right ahead.
Okay, well, we are close to what I think could be an astounding upset of the socialist juggernaut. And while Gun Owners has a very important stake in this issue. We have a dog in this fight for sure because of the implications to taking away the right to keep and bear arms of so many people based on these health records that the government shouldn't be getting its hands on to begin with. We, I think, can take a step back and we can look at this socialized medicine fight as pivotal for what kind of country you and I are going to live in probably for the rest of our lives and very likely the lifetime of our children. This is the big enchilada, the big mama of all battles, as Saddam Hussein liked to talk about. And the stakes are horrendously enormous and very, very threatening. If we win, I think Barack Obama becomes a laughingstock like Jimmy Carter. Dangerous, troublesome, socialist, but basically inept. If he wins, it's going to be Franklin Delano Roosevelt on steroids, completely transforming from the top American society. And this will not be a society where there's freedom of speech, freedom of choice. They talk a lot about choice, but believe me, ain't going to be no choice in Obama's America. And that is what we are fighting for right now. The battle may not even finally take place until the 15th of October. That's when there's an automatic going to have a vote measure in the reconciliation bill. So if they can't force the Republicans to capitulate before October 15, then that's when the majority only vote is scheduled.
This is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Larry Pratt, talking about the fact that the Budget Reconciliation Act is up and may not come up until October, but we have to start getting in touch with people now. Now, Larry, first of all, I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with your website, with your organization, and then join in the battle.
The website is gunowners.org, and what we really need people to do right now is go there. Go to gunowners.org. There's a free email alert. And that's really where this battle is going to be fought. On the Internet, when things move so quickly, there's no time for us to go in the mail. I don't even want to tell you how long it takes to get something into the mail. We fight battles there, but those are more long term, where we're building support for something that we want to promote, and we're not running the risk that all of a sudden they can steal a march on one of their votes. That's where the internet is. That's where this fight is. They keep doing things to try to fake us out, and we have to keep going back to our email supporters who get on that list for free. So I'm not advised to use the word supporters. Just for those other concerned Americans who are getting these free subscriptions, okay? Just go there and then please send in the email that we facilitate in those alerts so that the Congress does know that the folks back home want this or don't want that. As Senator Dirksen said many years ago, it's still true today. When I feel the heat, I see the light. So gunowners.org, please, that's where it's going to take place.
And of course, Larry isn't asking you to join, but I will ask you. It's a great organization. They do great work. I've known Larry for a long time, and Bill Richardson, who actually originally formed the organization. I met Bill, I think, about 45 years ago in a hotel room over in San Jose, along with the Congressman of Russolo at that time. And that was we've known him for a long time. They're straight. They're honest. They've given their lives in this battle, and the least we can do is to continue supporting them. Well, Sydney, this sounds like something exciting. So, again, it's www.gunowners.org. That's gunowners.org. And the telephone number is 888-886-GUNS. Is that right? 888-886-GUNS?
You have it, sir.
Well,
yes.
You've given it so many times on my program. So what are some of the other problems going on?
Well, we're looking at a treaty, which I think we can stop, because they're going to have to get, depending on how many senators are actually sitting at the time, 65, 66 votes in order to get it through. Well, that means correspondingly we only need maybe, say, 35. And this will be a gun vote, up or down, pure and simple. So I think it's got all of the potential for a victory. What we're talking about is the Central American Gun Control Treaty. It's a convention, but it's a treaty. They call it a convention. It's just another word for treaty. And through that, something that's, by the way, been signed by most of the governments of this hemisphere, through that, they would then, by treaty, essentially do away with the Second Amendment. It would force registration of all guns. You'd have to have a license in order to even reload ammunition, spent casings and putting new bullets in them. And you'd have to have a license to do that, as if you were a manufacturer. You'd have to have a license to work on your gun and replace a part. You'd be a manufacturer. By the way, that tax for being a gun manufacturer that they're hitting gunsmiths with, who do this kind of repair work, replacing a barrel, it's already up to $1,750 a year. It's a lot of barrels, man, that you have to change. And they could just keep pushing that little envelope under the treaty. Well, we're just complying with the treaty, blah, blah, blah. And the beauty of it, from the point of view of a bunch of socialist politicians who don't want to be held accountable, the only vote would be in the Senate ratifying the treaty. After that, it's all done by the stroke of a pen. Like Paul Begala, who was a Clinton advisor at the time, said, stroke of the pen, law of the land. Kind of cool.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Stroke of the pen, law of the land, kind of cool. That's how they take the attitude towards this move towards a dictatorship. All you need to do is look at history. Remember, they disarmed the Armenians before they slaughtered a million and a half of them. They disarmed the people in Russia before they began their slaughter, slaughtered about 60 million before they disarmed the Chinese people. They probably killed 100 million of them. They never even bothered to mention in our textbooks about the Great Hunger. 58 to 62, they slaughtered over 40 million, probably closer to 44 million. They just starved them to death. We never talk about that here in America. We talk about the 6 million Jews who died in Germany. It was a terrible thing. We never talk about the 12 million others, mostly Christians, who died in Germany. And of course, they disarmed the people there. And this is the standard. They disarmed the people in Rwanda before they hacked them to death. And of course, it was America that was working to prevent the UN forces from doing anything. These are not imaginary things, ladies and gentlemen. There really are wicked and evil people out there who have a different worldview. Until you understand that, nothing really makes sense.
The other thing that is often a problem for people who get some interest in politics is, as you said, not only the wicked people, but they look at what they're doing as a war, not necessarily with guns. And right now, by and large, we're not talking about bullets flying, but we are talking about the same objective as a war, the total elimination of the enemy's ability to resist. Total. They want it all. And so for folks to get into a battle, and our allies at the NRA have often made this mistake, they assume that, well, you know, if we make a little concession here, we show them we're nice guys, and then we can all get along. Sort of the Rodney King approach to politics. Can't we all get along? And just about the time that last syllable is being uttered, the knife goes into the back. No, we can't all get along. There's no intention on the part of people like Obama, people like his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, who's at least as big a thug as Obama, and the other people that he's appointed in his administration. They've shown that they think they're above the law. These are, most of them, people who haven't paid their income taxes, and, well, no big deal. You know, well, you and I don't pay our income taxes. That would be a big deal. But their contempt for the rest of us and their contempt for the law that they want us to obey but not themselves is really enormous. In fact, it's getting to the point that people rightly, I think, are laughing at it. I was talking to a judge the other day, and he said, oh, before we go, I just wanted you to know I'm getting ready to apply to be in the cabinet for the Obama administration. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'm not going to be paying my taxes.
Well, it's really sort of tragic. And where is the outcry from the American people? Remember what Obama said? We're going to have the highest quality of people. We're not going to have any lobbyists. We're going to have no scandal. We're going to have transparency, you know? And, of course, the first thing they do is pass all sorts of laws to keep the people from knowing what's going on. And, of course, they're going to do away with torture, but we're not going to do anything about the things that have happened in the past. And, of course, we can still send them to other countries. Why are we supporting countries that are supporting torture? And why aren't we going to enforce the laws? Because certainly every other country in the world knows that America was actually using torture on their helpless prisoners, many of whom were actually innocent. And what did more to recruit people into Al-Qaeda in this radical form of Islam was the total injustice of what the American forces did, many times torturing innocent people. If you've never read General Taguba's report, Major General Taguba, cost him his military career. He was told if he told the truth when he investigated Abu Ghraib, it would end his military career. He told the truth. He was ordered to resign. But you can get it on the Internet, or we have it here, and you will be horrified to see what was done with your tax dollars. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. But this is all being covered up by the Obama administration because we don't want to look back. We just want to look forward. Go right ahead, Larry.
Well, I think we can stop that treaty. We're going to have to. And again, that's why we really need people to be pummeling electronically their members of Congress, because this thing could be put before the Senate at the drop of a hat. They control the schedule. They don't tell us. So the only way we can get the word out is often at the last minute. We've been warning already through our email alerts, because Obama has threatened to put it before the Senate, so that triggered alerts from us. But the time could well come when it will be the moment of decision, and we'll just absolutely need to have people getting their input to the Senate on this measure. So gunowners.org, sign up for that email alert system. Otherwise, the battle will come and go. You might lose your right to keep and bear arms. And you won't even know it until they knock on the door. So we're in a very desperate fight. These are not nice folks. Let's remind people again what they've been doing to attorneys and investors of Chrysler. They've been told, we don't care about your contracts. We're abrogating the contracts. By what authority? Because we can do it. There's no authority for them to do that.
And there's no constitutional right for any of the things that they're doing. These people hate the Constitution.
Exactly.
Though they put their hand on a Bible and swear to uphold it. But when, it was interesting when we redid the oath for the president, Justice Roberts flubbed it the first time. How could the Supreme Court justice, the chief of the Supreme Court, flub the oath?
Well, when
they did it there in the White House, they just didn't bother to use a Bible. Okay, who do we have on the line? Who's calling in?
Hello, doctor.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Jim calling from Silver Springs, Michigan.
Okay, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I guess the thing I'd like to say is that, you know, you as a caring human being, and I as a caring human being that loves the country, loves just life, the fact is, when you say that we should call congressmen or senators and put the pressure on them to do what it should be right, I'm just thinking that maybe they don't have a right to be there.
Maybe they don't, but for the time being, we have to work. And we saw this last year as far as the amnesty bill was concerned. It doesn't matter that these are not nice people. We need, of course, to try to get them to vote correctly until we can get responsible people in. Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, and you're right that we have to get rid of the people that are in there and get people who actually have feelings and actually understand what the Constitution is for. So,
amen.
Anyways, thank you, Dr. Stanfield.
Thank you so much. And let's go to Nick calling from Carmel. Hi, Nick. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. Larry, I've been a member of Gun Owners for years, and
thank you.
It's a fine organization. Thank you for all the fine work you've been doing. A quick question. I tuned in a little late, and I heard you mentioning something about people on the antidepressant drugs.
Yes.
Now, they're going to be that's in a bill to limit their access to firearms?
Not directly. But what they're doing is they've already passed legislation that says that if you've got that kind of a medical record, and they find out about it, your right to keep and bear arms is bye-bye. They're using it to disqualify people from owning a gun. No trial, no proof that they might be a danger to themselves or anybody else. Just, oh, got a medical record, that's it, goodbye, your gun rights are done.
How was that passed? Under what bill?
That was called what we called the Veterans Disarmament Act. That was the one agency that had already computerized records and was already illegally and unconstitutionally batching them over to the FBI so that people could be denied the right to keep and bear arms. But a lot of the rest of us were protected simply because our records were in a dusty filing cabinet instead of in an electronic computer database, which now has been ordered, set up by a $20 billion infusion of funds in the government stimulus bill. And any shred of opting out of the system will be gone if the socialized medicine schemes, any one of them, end up getting imposed on us, because one way or the other, they will have control of our medical records. So we're in a very serious battle involving our privacy that involves our gun rights, and the battle right now is to stop socialized medicine or the game's all over.
So that was the Veterans Disarmament Act?
That was our name for it. It actually applied to all Americans, but we call it the Veterans Disarmament Act because they were the ones first in the crosshair. They were
the
ones
supported
who,
that,
unlike everybody else, had their records computerized, and so they were already being victimized by what became law for everybody.
And the NRA did support that, huh?
As Carolyn McCarthy, the sponsor of the bill, said, big anti-gunner from Long Island, the bill would not have moved had it not been for the NRA.
So that tells us a lot about the NRA. Anything else, Nick?
Real quick, H.R. 45, what's the status on that?
You did come in late. The measure at the moment is not advancing, but I don't take that with any comfort because they can try to sandwich that in a much larger bill, the way the Lautenberg gun ban passed in 86, in a huge spending bill where if it's printed before the vote, people might have 2-3 hours to read a 1,000-2,000-page bill. And there's the real danger of that piece of legislation. Nancy Pelosi said she has a position that goes even beyond H.R. 45. H.R. 45 wouldn't require the registration of all guns, just most of them. Nancy Pelosi has not made any qualifications. I want guns registered, she said on ABC's Robin Roberts.
And so basically we have people who do not believe in the Constitution, who do not believe in the Second Amendment, and this is probably the third most powerful person in the United States today, who flies home every weekend on her own private jet, which you are paying for. Anything else, Nick?
One quick thing. Is there any manipulation? There's been rumors about manipulation by the government into the ammunition.
Why don't I address that when we get back on the other side of the break?
Okay, you hang on there, Nick, and we'll be back in just a moment here. And, of course, we are under attack from every side. But fortunately, we have Larry Pratt and a few other friends back there are working, and this is why we bring them to you on a regular basis. Our guest today has been Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. The email, the website, www.gunowners.org. Gunowners.org, the telephone number, 888-886-GUNS. 888-886-GUNS. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Larry, you were going to address that issue for Nick.
I'm sorry. I got distracted. And
Nick, what was the issue?
Is there any manipulation by government into the supply of ammunition and reloading components?
None that I can tell. What we're seeing is a market registry of people's concern about what they know about President Obama. How when he was in the Illinois Senate, for example, he voted that people should be in jail if they have a handgun in their home. So people are out buying guns and ammo, cleaning off the shelves, finding out when the shelves get stocked so they can be there to carry it all off. Things stay on the shelf for maybe an hour in some stores, and then they're gone. The industry is working at full tilt, and still they can't keep up with demand. And frankly, I've already started to see little handmade posters with a picture of the president saying, Handgun Salesman of the Year.
In other words, he's done more to help the gun industry already, and I think
the
that
only private industry he has stimulated, because his government stimulus bill is only going to stimulate the Democrat Party and government, and I repeat myself, but the one industry that has been stimulated is the gun industry. Guns and ammo, it's as if they had wings on the boxes, and when they get put on the shelf, they fly away.
Okay, anything else, Nick, before we let you go?
That's it. I know I called Sierra Bullets. They told me they're working 24 hours a day, 3 shifts.
Amen.
Absolutely,
that.
And that's the story across the industry.
Well, Nick, it's your job to get the people out there listening to Radio Liberty and getting in touch with Gun Owners of America. Hey,
well,
thanks
I'm
so much.
I'm trying to do both.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, Larry, you've got 1 minute to wrap up the program before we let you go.
Well, let me just urge people again. This is to a certain extent a numbers game, and the Congress needs to be reminded that the gun issue is still a very, very hot-button issue, and it cost the Democrats control of Congress in 94. They are rightly concerned that if they vote on something for gun control and get caught doing it on the record, that could be the ball game, and they could lose in the next election in 2010. Way to keep them backed off is to let them know where you are. Please go to gunowners.org and get on that email alert list that we have, so you can send your email when the time is appropriate.
And, of course, keep listening to Radio Liberty and, of course, consider joining Gun Owners of America. It's a great organization. Larry, God bless you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, Stan. Really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope, of course, you enjoyed our program. I simply would point out that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And if you can't support us, why, certainly encourage other people to listen to our programs, to go to our website at radioliberty.com, where they can listen to our programs live 4 hours a day on the satellite, 9 hours a day of the archive, the MP3, the blogs. They can see our DVDs there. They can see our links to other YouTube presentations. They can read our newsletter. It's all free. If you want to donate, there's a place there to donate. But the major thing is to get the information out. And then, of course, we have a great DVD. It's called The Obama Deception, put together by Alex Jones. He did a great job on this. We have the DVD we talked about earlier called The World Revolution. That's The World Revolution. And certainly my interview with Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba, will tell you how we brought Fidel Castro to power. I hope you don't believe what you read in the newspaper, that Fidel Castro is the enemy of the United States. And that's why we, of course, have embargoed him all these years, and why people have to risk their lives to come to America from Cuba. And literally hundreds of thousands, millions have actually fled Cuba to come to America, and a significant number of them have lost their lives. But you must understand, we've been keeping Fidel Castro in power. That's why we gave him back a little Gonzalez, what was his name? Anyway, it doesn't matter, a little boy that I remember that his mother died trying to bring him here. And we gave him back. Bill Clinton sent him back to build up Fidel Castro's prestige. David Rockefeller is the most powerful man in the world. He's the most powerful man in America, certainly. And if you read his memoirs, you'll find out his daughters love Fidel Castro. They're down there visiting him all the time. Why would the daughters of the wealthiest man in the United States be so close to Fidel Castro? Why, Fidel even comes up to talk to the boss, David Rockefeller. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. We carry memoirs written by David Rockefeller. You must read this, especially page 405, where he admits he's part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States. We need your help to get the information out. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talk. It's on DVD, The Forbidden Secret. If you'd like to get our Financial Armageddon 4-tape set, or the syllabus that we put together, where it has a lot of things you're not going to get elsewhere. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. We hope you'll get a new 4-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. You'll actually hear my interviews with a couple of CIA-trained assassins. And, of course, then you need to get the DVDs, the Secret Mystery Series. You can get all three of them together at a special reduced price of $59.95, or get them separately for $24.95 each. But you need to get them. You need to watch them several times. You need to get the information. If you'd like to get Professor Quigley's book, Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor. Professor Quigley spent 20 years researching the secret society, which became the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921. And the Council on Foreign Relations was America's invisible government, of course, until the Trilateral Commission took control in 1976. Since that time, every president between 1976 and 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from this little group that's never had more than 87 American citizens in the North American chapter. Three out of the last four chairmen of the Federal Reserve System during that time were there. The people who control J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and the people who control the major media, they were all there. You need to get the information. You need to help us get it out. And then please pray for America. But pray for revival and pray for...